What's the biggest number one reason then maybe someone does fail with Tim's buying from your perspective?
I think it's often, and it sounds bad, but people will often ring me and say, I'm going to buy a gyms round. I've been stuck in an office. Just want to get fit and healthy and buy a gyms round. If you're going to go and buy a business because you feel a bit unfit and you're putting on weight, maybe you just don't have the right motivation and therefore buying the gyms won't work for you. And I've had it happen where they're lazy. But if you're lazy or you're not motivated, you're going to struggle. And sometimes in that interview process, people will be really good at saying how motivated they are, how they're looking forward to getting up early and cracking into it.
Thank you very much for joining me, Ben. Now, Ben Ward has been on our concept before. We've interviewed a lot of Ben's franchisees in the Geelong region. Now, Ben's a bit of a gyms legend. We don't do a hell of a lot of content online with Ben. You see him all the time, but Ben's a very big player in our mowing division. He's been around for many, many, many years. He's in Jim's book. You've been with Jim's mowing, I think, since you were 18 or 19, Ben. Was that right?
That's correct, mate. 1997, it was. 18. And,
yep, so you can do the math. It's 2024. So you've been around for a very, very long time. Did you just talk real quickly, bit of a quick short summary of your story of gyms for people who haven't heard about it? How did you get involved? How have you grown during gyms and where you are today with it?
Finished high school at the end of 1996. And I think February or maybe March that following year, I started working for a gyms mowing franchisee. One of my good mates had been working with him and he needed an extra hand. So I did that. I reckon it was only for like 4 months. And that franchisee was putting his round on the market. And being ignorant, I suppose, I had no idea what I was doing, but I just said to my parents, I want to buy this guy's business. Originally, Theo Benny was the franchisor. He said that I was too young and he wouldn't sell it to me. And then my old man, who had just recently retired from the police force, and he'd actually worked with Theo's brother, he came in and met with Theo and said, listen, if he stuffs it up, I'll take it over. But I'm confident that he won't make a mess of it. And eventually Theo let me start. So I reckon that was August 1997. It's still funny, I always remember in primary school, so maybe when I was 10 or 11, I remember a gyms mowing trailer pulled up out the front of the school, and I reckon there was ads on TV at that time, and I remember having a talk to the gyms mowing guy, I would have been a little smart aleck, but I was just saying, how's gyms, or good stuff gyms, or whatever, and he came over and had a chat, and then, 10 years later or whatever, I'm jumped into a franchise, but he would have been one of the first people to have a franchise in Geelong, that guy, I reckon.
It's amazing because you've been there for nearly 30 years now, and you used to run the training program as well. So the training program in gyms has developed over the years, and you're heavily involved in the success of that. And to where you are now, I think you're the most populated franchisor in terms of households per franchisee in Australia as well, which is quite impressive because it means you've got a lot of happy franchisees and people are talking about coming into your region and joining it and what they can do. So do you want to talk about first your region itself at the moment, currently? How many franchisees are in your region?
Yeah, so 92. I actually, to backtrack a little bit, in 1997, I bought the franchise. In 2003, Theo offered me half of his region, and finance was challenged. I ended up bringing another guy in who I'd done a fair bit of work with. So the two of us ran 25 franchisees, it was back then, so 2003. And then after 12 months, I bought that guy out. He wasn't enjoying it and he was looking to retire. So I think I started with 25, potentially got that up to say 50, rough numbers. And then I have to be 5 or 6 years ago, I bought the southern part of Geelong, which included the Surf Coast and the Bellarine. And we've got that up to 92 franchisees. Yeah, mostly really happy franchisees, good blokes. I've said it and I say it all the time. If you bring good people in, one, it's enjoyable working with them, but two, the customers have a better experience. So we've got a good team down here, and it's not unusual to have three different gyms mowing a lawn in the same street, but we all get along and high five and say good day and work as a team. So it's good.
Yeah, because I interviewed one of your guys last week, the week before, Steve the Spearman, and he's been around for 10 years. I think he went to see you from school or something.
Correct. Yeah.
Must be quite amazing having someone from school all of a sudden come. It's a pretty bad,
It's amazing. I've had a fair bit of it, actually. Yeah, Stephen was really good mates with my brother through high school. And then, next thing he's a franchisee. And often I don't know until they've already signed or they've turned up at the training course or whatever. And I'm like, I remember you. So, and that's an advantage of doing business where you grew up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Geelong, even though it's a big place, it's still, you've got the regional town vibe where most people will know someone, or indirectly they'll know someone who knows that person. So it's sort of a good family vibe in your region. Well, you can't mess up.
Put it that way, because someone will point it out pretty quickly, mate.
Oh, no. So how's the business? Because you were a franchisor at 24, were you? Was it 24, 25?
Yeah, so
pretty young.
I was 24, I think. So even in the training at that time, there was a whole session dedicated to selecting the right franchisees. And there was like five key points that it was do not sell to anyone under 25. And I remember sitting in the room going, well, this is a bit, doesn't quite add up.
Yeah.
But I guess in hindsight, it probably was unusual to one, be a franchisee at 18, and then two, to be the franchise or take on the franchisor role. And it was Theo. Theo didn't offer the business to anyone else. He just wanted me to get it, and he helped, not all of it, half of it, but he helped me with the finance and getting it all through and stuff. So he was just, I think he was pleased that I did the right thing for him, by him. And then even when I was a franchisee, and I think it's important for all people, you just don't know when things might turn, come back in 20 years later, 5 years later. But I looked after Theo a lot. If someone was injured or sick, Theo would ring me and I'd go and do whatever it is that he wanted. And I had access to friends that could help me. So yeah, the lawn franchise, the guy got sick. I went down there and looked after it for 3 months, just doing things to help Theo. But in the end, Theo helped me by getting the business to me.
Absolutely. Now, don't explain to people regional franchisor. They might not be knowing what it is. Don't explain to people outside of Jim, what is a regional franchisor and what is your role with Jim Smiling?
I struggle sometimes trying to explain it to people at parties and whatever. I guess to simplify it, it is I bring new people into the business. I help existing franchisees get out of the business. And then in between all of that is I'm their first port of call if they have a problem or an issue. And then I support them throughout their gym's journey, I suppose is what you guys often talk about, and just help facilitate, network, bring guys together. So really it's just it's a support role. And people always, occasionally people call me their boss and I'm like, no, you're my boss. You tell me what to do and I'll try and fix it. So in a small explanation of a sort of a fairly unusual role, it's basically just supporting people that are in the business.
It's pretty amazing what you do because you've got a lot of franchisees, which can be quite time consuming, but in regards to what you have to do, so many different things, new sales, selling customers, all that sort of stuff and complaints and different things that come up. And how do you manage it all from a time perspective? Is it just you've had so many years of experience, you know where to put your time and energy, or how does it sort of work from your end?
Yeah, it's, and my franchisees, and I'm the first to admit it, I fall behind. I can miss text messages or emails or whatever. I've spent the last 12 months bringing automation into the region. So just trying to help with, you know, bookkeeping programs and outsourcing stuff. So I think I used to do too much of it, whereas now I'm starting to outsource to try and make sure that I can focus on the most important part, and that is to make sure the franchisees are happy and making money.
I will say this, though. I've interviewed a few of your franchisees recently and they all give you a massive rap. I haven't actually heard someone say you don't not get back to anything. You're always there on the phone. So the franchisees who I've interviewed of yours say you do a fantastic job from that point of view.
Yeah, when I say I fall behind, sometimes just I think in customer service, things have got to happen quickly.
Yeah.
And that's the same at any level. But yeah, I don't like it when I get to a Friday afternoon and I haven't responded to an email that was sent to me on Wednesday. So that can wear me down a little bit, but I think it's just about having structure. And again, if you've got to focus on doing the right things by people, generally they'll give you a bit of leeway as well if you do fall behind.
And employed
people in the last few years to help keep me on track.
Now, I was going to say, if someone's looking at a Jim Smiling franchise, what are some things to know? What are some misconceptions that you commonly address? So people, some misconceptions about being a franchisee that you come across, you would have heard it all in your years about prospects.
Yep.
So what are some misconceptions you want to maybe clear up for people? And what are some things that people ask you about the business that you can let them know?
So obviously the big one that everyone will talk about is that restricted in where they can work. So very quickly, I try and point out that your territory doesn't mean a great deal. Yes, it's handy and there is some importance to selecting the right territory. And that the only criteria I have on that is to make sure it's as close to your house as possible. So you can work anywhere. I say to guys, you can work in Werribee or you can work in Apollo Bay or you can stick in Geelong. Like, it is completely up to you where you nominate. And then we help them choose what services they receive in particular suburbs. So I always say, like, every franchisee should have the suburb that the tip is at and just have that for rubbish removal jobs only. So if you ever get a lead, you're only 5 minutes from the tip and put that suburb in so you get that work. So little things like like that Hassard until you actually get in the business. But then I think people are surprised by how well the franchisees get along with each other. So they're often expecting it to be competitive, which is nice. The franchise expiring, so when does it expire? And it doesn't really. Their contracts get renewed after 10 years, and often that's renewed in their favour, so they would get cheaper fee structure than someone that's just joining. Yeah, and then everyone's just got sort of little different things, and often it's that it's the neighbour or their best friend or their wife or their uncle that's giving them misinformation about gyms, and that can be it can be hard to sort of win them over and get them to trust what you're saying.
Yep.
And often, it's where's the catch, and there isn't really a catch other than they've just got to be prepared to work hard.
It's a great point. We get tarred with the same brush with franchising, unfortunately, when there's a bad Baker's Delight or some other site-based franchise, which, 40% of turnover, and there's unscrupulous landlords, and they just tar franchising with the same brush, which is why we do this content and these type of things, is to try and address that misconception that we take 30% of your turnover and all that sort of stuff. We've just got to keep hammering it home. It's not the case.
Yeah, so the franchise fees is another one, and people don't necessarily have a misunderstanding of it. They just don't quite get it. The percentage of turnover and stuff occasionally pops up. We've probably, thanks to the content online, we've probably addressed that. So the franchise fees, the set amount, if we can run through that and try and explain to them how it works, and then they can see and understand that, well, if they're running their business well enough, that franchise fee is incidental because the brand will offer them great opportunity to be able to build a good run. And if you're making money, that $200 a week or not even, depends, everyone's different, and that's around how many leads they're taking or whatever. But if you're making $1, those lead fees are minuscule compared to what they can be doing if they run their business well.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about Google Ads, you don't have to worry about a website. You don't have to worry about all that stress of generating online work. They're concentrating on doing a good job. And I think people forget how hard it is now. I see it a lot of the time in the finance groups and Reddit and stuff, and people go, what about a gym's franchise? And we've done a few things with Jim responding to some Reddit things and some of the incorrect information.
Yeah, I see them.
Yeah, and the ones that always come up is, you don't need gyms. Put that money into getting a few flyers and dropping around your neighborhood. Next thing you know, you'll be a successful business owner compared to, you don't need gyms. You can do it yourself, that sort of thing. Maybe what would you say to that? Then someone maybe looking at, I don't need the franchise, I can do it myself. What would you say to them? Maybe just to some realistic considerations they maybe should think about before doing that.
Maybe in the last 5 years, I've had more independents cross over to gyms, which is a good thing. I think if you're really good and you've got a good, marketing strategy, and you can build up your client base and do it on your own, there's definitely advantages to that. What I think the biggest thing that gyms offers our guys is to really reduce their travel and receive leads where they want them. If you've got an ad online, you might get a lead in the morning from Lara, which is 20 minutes from Geelong. And the next lead could be Torquay, which is 20 minutes the other way from Geelong. So you've got, through one advertising campaign, you're getting all these clients spread too far, whereas our system allows us just to nominate what areas and what suburbs we want to work in, and you can really cluster up. And then I think it is that networking, that having other franchisees to bounce off. And yes, there's Facebook pages and groups online for independents, and a lot of the main guys and franchisees are in that as well. It's just that stuff's not, you can't trust that the information on there is as reliable as what it will be if it's coming from a local franchisor in your area who's putting you in touch with local franchisees that have been doing it for 15 years. So I think that networking helps. And often forgotten in all of this is that the way that gyms structured up the contracts and stuff, it's quite easy for them to sell their business when they want to get out. So there's, it really is a low risk business, because if I put someone on tomorrow, they spend $25,000 on the franchise. If they were to walk away, in theory, we should be able to sell their franchise for a similar amount to what they bought it for. And so really, it's only the equipment costs is hard to get back if it was to fail. And
yeah,
it might fail anyway.
Yeah, and that's exactly a really good point. Another great point I heard from a franchisee talking about his perspective as a franchisor, you know 92 individual businesses at the moment. So you know different things from all these different businesses, and they can come to you anytime, and you've got access to you who has all this knowledge, and from every single situation you've seen over these years. In regards to the franchisor value as well, you get this, you refer to it as like mentorship, but we call them franchisors, but you're essentially a business coach who gets access to every scenario in gym. So I think that's a good point as well, what you said. Let's talk about the failure. So why do you think in gyms, we'll try and be honest about this sort of stuff, what's the biggest number one reason then maybe someone does fail with gyms buying from your perspective? What are some things that people should be aware of?
Sort of the easy ones are a young kid buys a franchise, perhaps loses his license for drink driving or something like that, and then he's trying to pay people to drive him around. So like you have a few of those bad luck stories, I guess, or not necessarily bad luck, you make your own. But then you have potentially the odd one where injuries might, you know, an old footy injury might flare up or something, and they struggle with it. But normally you can, it is a healthy sort of a occupation. So I've maybe had one in the 20 years or 25 years or whatever that injuries have got the better of. But I think it's often, and it sounds bad, but people will often ring me and say, I'm going to buy a gyms round. I've been stuck in an office. You know, I just want to get fit and healthy and buy a gyms round. If you're going to go and buy a business because you feel a bit unfit and you're putting on weight, maybe you just don't have the right motivation, and therefore buying the gyms won't work for you. And I've had it happen where they're lazy. And I can say that because I'm overweight myself. So I'm lazy. I need to walk the dog today, but I might not get to it. But if you're lazy or you're not motivated, you're going to struggle. And sometimes in that interview process, people will be really good at saying how motivated they are, how they're looking forward to getting up early and cracking into it. Well, when they start saying stuff like that to me, I start to worry that they're trying to use gyms or their franchise to force them to get fit, which is probably not going to happen.
They probably do a trial day or spend a week at least with a franchisee before making any decision.
Yeah, and I try and get them out with a franchisee that works in a suburb with lots of hills, just to really test. Yeah. So I think those ones, and then you have like, usually there's an outside influence. So relationship breakdowns.
Yeah.
Normally you can, if you delve into it far enough, and I don't necessarily do that. Like I'll just try and help people with whatever they ask me. So if they want to get out, I'll help them get out. But yeah, I think like, so personal issues. And then potentially guys that just necessarily financially savvy, and I wasn't, but I had no commitment. So I was young and dumb and could just sort of make bad choices and whatever, but I could get away with it because I didn't have a family dependent on me. But if you're not careful with your money and you're not perhaps working as hard as what you could be, the pressure can come from your wife or your parents or your family. So you just, they're the ones that probably come to mind with people sort of struggling with the franchise.
The main thing for people to take out of it, you've got to work hard in gyms, Mung. It's not just a foolproof thing for success. I know we do a lot of content online and people can hear all the success stories and think it just happens, but there's a lot of hard work that goes into those success stories from people.
Yeah, and maybe in a rush. So sometimes guys will be trying to get there too quickly and I just slow them down. Any business takes 5 years to establish. Luckily for us, with the franchise model, it might be 2 to 3 years before they can really say that they're comfortable and they're across it all. So they've got to be prepared to have that first year or first 3 months of challenges. And I always say, if there's something keeping you up at night or there's something that's stressing you out, you need to let me know, because usually we can stop that stress pretty quick.
Yeah, I remember interviewing one of you guys last week, Stephen, and he was saying to me, another good thing we should mention for people, he's had an injury at the start of spring. He'd done a tendon in his hand. I think it was out for 3 months, and he had 4 franchisees, Mark Logan, and there was a few other ones who covered his round at the start of spring and kept his business going. And he's saying without that, like if it was not with Jim's mowing, he would not have been able to survive at all. So I thought that was a really good thing people to know as well. Like if you're an independent, you do not have that cover. You might have a mate or something, that's fair enough. But I think it's a really underestimated point. Like if you want to do holidays or there is an injury, you can have coverage from the franchisees in the region as well to keep your business alive. Because he said if he didn't have that, his business would have been stopped.
Yeah, that was an unlucky one, that injury. And again, you're 100% correct. And even on top of that, that 1-3, 1-5, 4-6. So occasionally a franchisee will tell clients that he hasn't got time to fit them in anymore. And then we'll get a flurry of calls to our call center and they say, oh, the previous guy hasn't got time or whatever, and it goes out to another franchisee. So if they can't get onto a franchisee, they can get back to the call center. And at least we can try and make sure that they don't lose that customer or direct them back to the franchisee or start to get a bit of an insight. So that the 131 number or call center is handy, the network and using that network. And then when things do happen, holidays, injuries, whatever, very easy to get it covered.
Now in your businesses as well, you have some guys who just do some specialist stuff. Like if people just want to do landscaping, they can do it. Or if they want to do gutters, they can just do that. Do you have any franchisees? Even though it's titled Jim's Mowing, but there's a lot more that franchisees can do. Do you have any franchisees who are doing those sorts of things, specialist sort of areas?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of gyms landscaping trailers and I've got a gyms gutter cleaning that's probably 8 months. He was a mowing franchisee and just sold off his mowing run and bought the gutterback trailer. So he's 8 months into it. It's probably been harder than he anticipated in terms of the last 12 months with the economy and people second guessing. So double story gutters are the expensive. So I think there's no regrets there, but clients are, it's harder for him to get that sort of, you know, $350, $400 for a double story gutter than perhaps what it was 2 years ago.
Yep.
But no, that's longevity in the business for him. So that's another thing that people perhaps don't understand from the outside is that we can manipulate and change services. Like we get guys that turn 50 and they say, I don't want to climb a ladder anymore. And so any client that they have where they need, or they ask them to do gutters or high work, they'll have a list of franchisees that they just call on for those jobs, which enables the franchisee to stay in the business for another 10 years because he can just stick to the services that's suiting.
It's a great point. Another thing we should point out to people is you can build a business with no extra charges. I think it's a misconception as well. If you want to put in extra trailers or employees, gyms will charge you extra and stuff like that. So do you want to outline maybe some guys in your region who are doing that, who have employees and staff, and how that all works?
You're 100% correct. So the more money you make, your fees stay the same. And whether that's 5 trailers, 10 trailers, or 1 trailer, I'm sure Jim did it for a reason. But that's a really smart way that he's done that, because if you're a successful franchisee, as I said earlier, your fees are quite easy to cover. If you're not a good franchisee and you're not providing good service and you're not converting on your quotes, well, those fees will sound high because you're not making enough, so something's got to change. Normally we can get them to change and improve, and then the fees become insignificant again.
And what's the biggest business in your region from your guys? Is there a guy like with 5 trailers or 4 trailers or a couple of vehicles, or what's the biggest one in the region?
I reckon 2 trailers, 3 trailers, and maybe 3 or 4 employees. We actually did a survey of the franchisees last year. It was an anonymous survey where they come back to us with their turnover for the year, and I was pleasantly surprised. But I think the highest for our region was 330,000. But we have had guys doing a lot more than that in the past. But for whatever reason, they scaled back, maybe through COVID and all that. But I don't, off the top of my head, I don't think there's anyone that's got 3 trailers on the go at the moment. Whereas Melbourne, that's a little bit more common.
I was going to say,
did interview Mark Logan. I reckon he's up to 2 trailers, but maybe 3 employees.
Jim caught up with him at the trade day, and and asked him a few questions, but I don't think we got that out of him as well. No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But there you go. But yeah, there's a good option for people that want to build a business. They can. And they're encouraged to do it as well via the system. There's no extra fees or anything. As you said, the more you earn revenue wise, your fees is a real small proportion.
A smaller percentage. Correct.
Absolutely. And I was going to say as well, Ben, when someone buys a business with you, what do they normally get? So they go, right, ready to go, franchise fee. Do you want to just walk them through the process? What's involved with it all to getting from, let's say, I like this idea of it to actually starting in the field? What's in between?
Yeah, so a general normal process, I guess you would say, they meet with me, I show them as much as I can in the computer as to how they allocate work and how many leads they can expect and what rounds are available. Then I try and get them out on the road for a trial day to go and see what the guys do each on a day-to-day basis. Then they will choose, well, they'll get to the point where they're comfortable to buy the franchise. At this point, they still haven't committed to any money or any handed over any cash or deposits. And then we would try and lock down on a business or book them into training. And so once they're booked into training, then we can start to map out a timeline for them where we can sort of say, right, well, as long as we've got this, and this done, you should be right to start on your own by the 1st of March. And then I actually do it a little bit differently to other people in that I try and get the franchisees to build their network with the local suppliers down here. So I don't steer them in direction of any equipment or package up anything. We give them a safety pack when they start, which is $795 for all of the safety gear that they need to be compliant. But the rest of it, I try and steer them off to go and meet with the different mower shops, build their network. And I think that's important because if you're in business and you buy your mower from the local guy, if something goes wrong with it, that local shop should look after you and try and do their best by you. So I think that's important. And even things like tip fees and that, I try not to get involved with because I want the guys to build their own network and working with other businesses. So then it's just uniforms, business cards, ad hoc stuff. Get them through the training course. And then, we usually get them to spend as much time as they can with the guy they're buying the franchise off, is in the existing franchisee, and then they're right to go.
What about the fears around the equipment training? So I've spoken to a few people. I always speak to people who come through training, and a lot of their fears generally seems to be the reverse. Like, they always fear about, can I do the edge properly, or can I mow the lawn properly? It's never the customer service side, whereas we know that the customer service side is probably the most important part as opposed to the actual other side of it. So how do you train? Like, what training do you have in place, or what sort of can you say to someone if they're coming from a completely corporate environment? They might be, you know, just mowing their lawn at home and then maybe not as confident doing those other things. How does it all work from your perspective with new franchisees who've come from really low, let's say, industry knowledge base to where they can go?
Yeah, that's interesting, Joel. I've never heard it put like that, which is true. They worry about their pruning or edges or whatever. But as you say, the customer service is the key. So I always say to people that a good person who's easy to get along with and the customers like can do an okay job, and the customers will still keep him because they like him and he makes their life easier, and he turns up when he says he's going to, and they don't have to worry about the lawns or the gardening or whatever. So, but if you're a little bit rough around the edges in terms of the way you interact with people, and you're not someone that people warm to easily, if you do an okay job, you might find that more of those people will move on to someone else. So it's similar to what you said in terms of your customer service, but if you do a really good job and you're a really good bloke, you're going to be flat stick. Mm. And the way you do a really good job is just to take your time, learn from others, have, you know, pride in your work, all the, you know, the normal stuff that you would hear. And if you're not good at something, just go and practice it. So the biggest thing for new franchisees is my edges are no good, or I'm worried about the whippersnipper. Most of the time you've been using a residential, not a commercial grade whippersnipper in your personal life. So as soon as you get on the end of one of the commercial grade, or all the commercial grade equipment, it makes the job a lot easier. And then it's a time thing. So go and do all your neighbors' nature strips. It takes about 2 weeks to get the hang of the whippersnipper, I reckon, if you really crack in and have a go at it. And if you're still struggling, there's other tools now. So there's like blade edges that, you know, battery power, they're light, easy to get around. So the first time you do a client's property, you could potentially use that. And the next time you'll be able to do it with your whippersnipper, unless you're in Perth, because you guys use your blade edges all the time. But they can learn it. It's not rocket science. It's just being committed and that eye for detail. And, you know, not everyone has that, but looking back over a job, just making sure you haven't missed anything, you'll get 3 months and you should be have a down pat. And just say to the clients, I know my edges aren't as good as Dave, who I've bought the round off, but he was doing it for 15 years. I promise you that in 3 months' time, I'm going to be doing as good as his, or if not better.
Yeah, it's the only reason why I say that, because I meet a few franchisees in training. A lot of them are from sales rep or BDM backgrounds, and you meet them, they're really nice people, and they say, I'm a bit concerned that in the mowing component, because the mowing training we have at National as well, there's not much hands-on stuff. It's generally listening to someone talk about it, and they get a bit scared, but it's sort of the other way around. Whereas if you can do the sales and you're a BDM, you've probably got 95% of the actual stuff that really matters, and then the other stuff is obviously doing a good job, but that will come as you go, and then you have all the experience where they can go to you or the franchisees in the area, come across this thing, or how do I tackle this, and I'll get a response pretty quick as well.
Yeah, and even with the training course, so I think you touched on it earlier, it was 2007 where I actually had back surgery, had to let go of my franchise because I had some bad nerve damage. And then I got the role as the national training manager, but we had a fair bit of hands-on equipment training, and it was just, there was no good. There was no benefit from it. And I'll argue till the day I die that you can't, in a training course in Melbourne, you cannot expect to have people jump on a whippersnipper and learn how to do it. And we're mostly male dominated, but we're all too cool, sit back, half of them having a cigarette, no way knowing they're going to go and try and do an edge in front of 30 people that have only met 4 days ago. So it just didn't work. And a lot of people say, oh, there should be more hands on, but
yeah.
If anyone ever gives you grief over it, Joel, give them my number, because I know we tried and it was just never going to work.
Yeah, we get it a bit. I try and tell them that from experience. But if you want to see the training, anyone can go type in Kim's training. You'll see everything online. We actually have full sessions from back in the day. Things are covered from you even back in the day when you used to do it. That's still online.
I do miss the training. It was great fun seeing all the new guys. And once my kids are a bit older, I'm just in that little window now where my kids are 10 and 12 and after school sports, and it's about a 2-hour drive from Geelong to get up to.
So you come back and do
it. I would, yeah, once they're older. It's just in the end I was calling on the babysitters and all that too much. My wife works in Melbourne as well, so in the end I just had to say, oh, I'm going to have to stop doing it. But I did love it. And it, yeah, it's good fun, meet some good people.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a really good training experience. So the, for those that don't know, you do the 3-day generic, and then you do the 3 days. You do your Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday, sort of morning to 2 o'clock, with experienced people up there. I think it's John Wilds and trying to think, is it Matt? Dez is doing the stuff. So you've got really experienced guys and doing it. So it's a really good program for it. But we get that question a bit: am I going to learn how to use a mower or an edger there? Why don't you teach that? So it's sort of good to hear from your perspective that you've actually tried it before and seen it. So yeah, it can be quite difficult.
And if you are a new franchisee and you're listening to this, or you're going to be a new franchisee, honestly, if you're worried about mowing and your technique and all that, just let your franchisor know. And the day that you've got 4 hours spare or 5 hours spare or a whole day spare, find out from your franchisor who you can go and jump in the car with and go and help him mow a few lawns. Obviously, you get a chin wag in between. You're going to be making him get through his work a bit quicker, and you will learn really, really quickly. What you do with someone in 4 hours back at home in the field would take 5 days at head office. So just, and reach out to people. That's the beauty of gyms, which Joel touched on before. But I've got a guy, and I found out this just by coincidence, but a franchisee bumped into a gym who's been with us for 14 years. And he said, oh, hey, how many lawns you've done today? He said, I've done 12 or 14. He's like, there is no way known you can do 14. I've only been able to do 7. And so now they're going to go and jump in the car together, mow a few of each other's lawns. And this franchisee is going to, you know, he'll turn his business from 350 a day to 550 a day just on the back of a subtle conversation at the tip or at the milk bar or whatever. And that's, yeah, you can drive it. You can. There's enough of a network out there for you to make a real go of it.
You said it before, I think it's a really big point, is that the people think I'm competing with other franchisees. That's an outsider's perspective sometimes. And as you said, it's complete opposite. It's the other way around. They help each other. I've never heard of any rivalries or competition from my end anyway, about between franchisees ever.
Yeah, it's a friendly rivalry. Like, I'm earning more than you, or I'm smashing out 16 and you're only doing 15 mows, whatever it is. There's that type of rivalry, and that's fun. But the boys, and I've got a female franchisee as well, and she's fantastic, and some female staff. So, but they, the bit of banter and all that stuff helps you get through a day, but we're not competing because there's just too much work. So no one's worrying about, you know, where their next dollar's coming from. And so therefore they're not, you know, worried about the new guy starting up. Or look, I'm sure in certain areas or at certain times, there might be a few franchisees that get a little bit worried about it, but like, it's a very small percentage. And they do, they are happy to see someone come along, and they're happy to help them because they've all been in that position.
Now, do you want to talk about now the income guarantee to people? Because that's an important thing. It's obviously advertised with a lot of different franchises in general, saying income guarantee. Do you want to talk about how that works and actually the reality of how much have you actually paid over the years in regards to the income guarantee?
Yeah, I'm going to say I paid out less than $1,000 in 20 years.
Amazing.
And I think it's important that people understand is that doesn't mean that everyone has met their income guarantee every week. It's based out over 4 weeks. Really lucky down here in Geelong that we've got a large aged care client base. With the City of Greater Geelong, we've been doing aged care work for them for 25 years. So there is a lot of work coming through that we can give out to the guys to make sure that they're kept busy. But basically, if they're quiet, they come to us and let us know, and usually they'll be like, what do I need to do for pay for work guarantee? And we'll say, thanks for letting us know. Here's what you need to do. But in the meantime, here's $3,000 worth of work that you can go and do for us straight away. And that's just through having those contacts. Jim said it all along. And even when I first started, there was a really high conversion from franchisees that did go and do free mows for people that ended up converting them into regulars. And I feel like I've got a guy that still does one a month. I think he does a free mow for someone once a month, just so that he's a good person and he sort of community minded. But yeah, I think he does still generate a little bit of work out of doing that. And that's not his intention for doing it, but he does one a month, I reckon it is.
And with the businesses as well, is there any good stories that come to mind of some recent people or over the years? What's been some good franchisee stories? Maybe a bloke, maybe a bit down in his luck's come in and this was his last sort of go and he's made a really good life for himself. Or what are some stories over the years from your region? There'd be a lot.
I've got a young fellow, John O'Casey, local sportsman, cricket, football, all of that. He inquired, and I reckon it's 10 years between his first inquiry and his inquiry that he ended up buying. He had a good job and, corporate. So he ended up bringing a mate of his to do it with him. So the two of them, they've got two trailers. They're probably actually, their figures wouldn't have been in that survey, but they've got two trailers going and a couple of employees, and absolutely loves it. Like, should have done it 10 years earlier, all that sort of stuff. And now he's bringing in some of his mates. So we've had Andrew Hodgson's and you guys just started. He's one of Jono's mates. And everywhere I turn, I seem to hear from people, oh, Jono must be under you or whatever. And I'm like, yep, good bloke, good operator, all that. He's been a ripper. Recently, I had a guy, same thing. I reckon it took him 3 years to make the jump. He might have started during COVID, inquired, nerves about money. Yeah, good job up in Melbourne. Went to book in for training, no, completed training. And then his boss offered him 40 grand pay rise, something like that. So he didn't go ahead.
Nah.
And then 4 months ago, he popped up again, said, I'm ready to go, maybe 5 months. And he's been going now since, I'll say, December. But he's just a random call from the call centers, been an aged care booper place, which he's picked up, which is a day a week, I think, on good money. And he's earning way more than what we forecast and what I told him that he could earn. And happy as Larry. And that's very common because I see it all the time, but I love those stories. That's what gets me out of bed. And often I'm a little bit blasé because I've done it for so long. I don't realize how big a jump it is for people, but I'm confident if you get the right people, the luck follows them. But to get a lead from the office, a $15 lead, it's probably a $40,000 job across the year, and it'll probably lead to another one. That will lead to another one. So those types of things are, yeah, amazing. But there's heaps of them.
What do you think stops people? Because we hear all the time, should have done it years ago. I interview a lot of people 6 months, 3 years down the track, and they go, I should have done it years ago. They all say the same thing. Everything, you just think it's a sales pitch, but it's not. They can ask the other franchisees in the areas. But what do you think stops people? Do you think it's people who don't know anything about gyms who just tarnish franchises all the same? Is it they don't, as you said, it's what's the catch, this sort of thing, or they like the confidence or the self-belief? What do you think's the biggest stopper of people from actually taking that leap? You know they want to do it, but they stop.
In the past, I had trouble with accountants. Like, I'm talking 15 years ago.
Yes.
Accountants used to just say, don't do it. And now, yeah, I haven't had that happen for ages where they've come back and said, my accountants told me not to do it.
Great point. That's changed a bit in recent years, and I agree with you. I used to hear that all the time. And that's changed a lot now. And now I hear the other way saying, people do still go to an account, but they say, oh, it's a gym's franchise, they're good. So, which is, yeah, but you're right, accountants was a big issue.
Oh, right? I used to. Sometimes I used to want to ring him and just say, hey, look, you're talking about a guy who's on minimum income driving a forklift and you're telling him that gyms is a bad idea. Like, I just, let's
delusion.
Come and
yeah.
meet. Yeah, come and meet with me. I'll show you all the guys that are making money. So, yeah, that used to be one. I read it's the little man on the shoulder, but more so it's that inner network. Just, oh, why do you need to buy a franchise? Your kids are young. You've got a good job.
Yeah.
You know, when I was your age, or, yeah, like our parents, they just got one job and they did it forever. So, yeah, just that comfort zone and hard to take that leap. And then just a few little, probably, I guess, people that are important to them in their lives might just throw a few things across that they just can't. It builds that brick wall that they can't jump. And that's why I always just try and get them out in the field with the guys, but try and get them to talk to as many people as possible.
Because that's the important thing that people need to know. You do get a list of franchisees, current and former, and we recommend that you call, you know, as many as you can. We do have people, which are great to hear. I know that some of them have called 20 people before coming to training, and they've called finished and former and current ones as well. And that's a really good thing, way to do it, to actually hear from the source as opposed to the third party hearsay, which is quite often incorrect.
Yeah. So Theo, the guy I bought off, and it's always stuck with me. I probably haven't used it as much as I used to, but here's a list of my franchisees. Start at the top, work your way to the bottom, and you can stop once you find one person that doesn't like me or bags gyms.
Yeah.
So his theory was that I'll get to the bottom, I know I'll do it. But yeah, open book. We are, and all franchisors, I'm sure, are the same, but open book. Do not make a financial commitment until the very, very last point, and we will give you as much information and like the content that your team does, Joel. That's it filters all the way down to the franchisor. Like, we are, and I've been doing it long enough. I've got 92 guys. I don't want to sell it to someone. I don't want to be convincing you to buy a franchise. I want you to be convinced that the franchise works for you. And the only way I can do that is by giving you as much information, getting you to talk to as many people as you can. And if it's not for you, that's fine. But more often than not, if you enjoy the work, now that I always say enjoy the work, which there's days when I call them Barker eggs or landmine string dogs. Hit them.
Barker eggs. I haven't heard that one before.
Hit it with a whipper snipper. That's not a good day. Not enjoying that. And it's all over your face. Or you're walking up Chilambra Crescent, I don't know whether you, the Cadell Evans bike race, that's the Chilambra racing. I was on that street. And it was like literally like that. That's hard work. So enjoy the work to a point. You're going to have some, cold, wet, rainy, hot, all that stuff. Enjoy the work and then enjoy the interaction with your customers. If you think you're going to enjoy those two things, and probably the last one would be if you're a bit careful with money. Now, you don't have to be careful with money. You can still be successful without it. But if you're, I'd say, tight on us and enjoy the work to a point and enjoy interacting with customers, you will be successful.
Yeah, it's a great point. And also, as you said, success is something where you can do the multiple vehicles if you want. But if you want to just do the sole trade, like Stephen does sole trade for 10 years, loves the money. He's happy with it and it works around his two sons as well. He was saying he's got shared custody and stuff and it allows him to do all those things as well. It's a really, really good business. It is you're right. You do get the whole what is the catch thing just because we get franchising gets lumped in with all these other ones. But I think Tim's is a really unique model compared to anything else.
100%. And like even Steve, his or ex father in law, he ended up buying a franchise.
Yes.
And very few have regrets. There are obviously, there's the volume of people that we have come through the door. There are people that get disgruntled and, it doesn't work for them. So things that we maybe touched on earlier. But there's a whole lot of success stories out there. And that little man on the logo there, he's been unbelievable for me to think that I've only ever. Well, left school, started with gyms, and have been with them ever since. And I can't see myself leaving. And that's all courtesy of him. Now he's a challenging person, as we all know, but his intentions are sound. He wants people to be, he wants franchisees to be happy. And
100%.
He's been amazing for me and my family. And even my uncle, he's like, why on earth would you want to be a lawn mowing man when I was 18? He's a farmer up bush. And he often brings it up, if I saw a lot of him or he was in my life a lot, I might not have made the jump because he was like, why would you buy a lawnmower franchise?
There's a ridiculous stigma around it, I think. There's a ridiculous stigma around home services in general.
Yeah.
People don't know the earning potential and the lifestyle benefits of being in cleaning or mowing or dog wash or fencing or handyman. They just don't understand how you can make more money than those corporate jobs and be far happier, less stressed, don't deal with the politics and garbage and stay close to home and be there for your kids. And they just don't get their ego out of the way to realise that.
Yeah, and I think Geelong is the perfect example of that. So if you're in Geelong, it's probably changed a little bit, but if you're in Geelong and you want to earn that sort of, well, it used to be 100 grand, things are probably going up a little bit, but it's that you'd have to travel to Melbourne. So you're spending 3 hours commuting to Melbourne. Whereas you can buy a gym's mowing franchise, drop the kids off to school, not miss a game of their basketball, not miss footy. You probably even end up coaching the footy team. You're making the same money without that travel to Melbourne. I think that's why gyms is a good option down here for people, is just that location and not having a...
It's a great point, Especially in regional areas, to make that six-figure, like Warrnambool's the same, you make that from there originally, and to make 100 grand is a lot in Warrnambool. There's not many places you can work at Warrnambool besides being maybe a lawyer or owning a business to do that. So it's a really good opportunity. If you want to do good money in a regional area, the gyms mowing franchise is a good vehicle for it.
100%.
I was going to say as well, Ben, how have you seen the brand develop over the years? You said gyms are a challenging character, and those who know and can maybe see a lot of the content might work that out, but I'm sure it's mentioned in an endearing way. So how have you seen the business develop over the years from your perspective? Because you've been for a long time, you've seen a lot of things. And do you think it's in a good position now compared to where it's been in the past?
Yeah. So I think my first quote was $12.50 for my first lead. So money has changed. And I only did work for elderly, give or take, but not any, and maybe some real estate work and stuff. But when I first started, that first sort of stage. So now I think the public has got a greater appreciation for our industry or the home services industry. And I say it all the time, like it's been an interesting shift in the last 5 years that people have been getting their lawns mowed for 25 years now. Like it's a very normal thing to have someone come and get your lawns mowed.
Mm.
If you if they're paying $70 and not enjoying that experience because they turn up late or they make a mess or whatever, people now have been through five or six different gardeners, they will pay more to have the guy that makes it really easy for them. And even things like, we get complaints because they haven't sent him the client hasn't been sent an invoice because they just want, like, I mean, part of it is the invoicing because they just want their life to be easy. And they just, so yeah, so I think that's changed across the industry, but, and then gyms is just a whole lot more around professional outfit, like the tools and the equipment and all of that that's available to these guys now that they are making good money and they can, you know, run it like a not a mowing round, but a business. So I think that's changed. I think the perception online and all that's changed a lot, and all of that content that you guys do. And it's a big wheel. The clients have trust in us, and that's why we hate complaints, and Jim hates complaints, because on the whole, we've got a very good brand that the public trusts. If we all as a team continue to deliver on that and deliver quality service, there's no reason why this won't be going for another 100 years.
That's a good point. And the brand, it's a very wanky term to say the brand, like brand this, and you know, it's a very wanky term sometimes, but it means a hell of a lot now, especially because any Tom, Dick and Harry can start a Facebook page and all of a sudden I've got something known and, you know, I'm going to take over the world, and then they find it's really, really hard to do. So to leverage off all the thousands of jobs that have gone into that Goodwill and Jim's Mowing in Geelong, for example, people who keep coming in at the stage now are just getting the really benefit of those decades of all those Goodwill and those jobs going into the area. So when you're buying at a pretty similar price point to what you could do 5 years ago, you're getting so much value with all those jobs that have gone into there and all the Goodwill and all the contract work that you do. You just make it an absolute no-brainer for people to start their own business, and it's a great stepping stone if they want to do other things as well. We have a lot of people in gyms who use Jim's Mowing as their first business and then go on to do other things as well. So it's a really great business from a lot of angles. You might stay for 30 years or you might do it for 3 years and stepping stone to something else. But it's just such a really good vehicle for business. And as you've developed yourself, you've come in here as an 18-year-old and now you're one of the most successful franchisors in the Jim's Mowing division, training, all that sort of stuff. I know you've got a nice house as well. And to do with what you've been able to do with the brand.
Correct. I did marry a solicitor as well, mate, so that helps.
I was going to say as well, personally, Ben, if people buy into your region, what should they know about you? I know you don't go for Geelong, so who do you go for?
No.
I'll let you say.
I barrack for the mighty Saints. That's why I'm so resilient. I go for the Saints. Played footy down here. Not a very good footballer. In fact, I was horrible, soft. Softest ruckman to ever play local football.
You're a big fella, yeah. Pretty ruckman and high desirability, yeah.
Yeah, so ruckman that don't like physical contact don't generally work well together. So I had a short-lived footy career down here. But, yeah, just Belmont High School, yeah, and like to have fun. Don't try to take life too seriously. And, yeah, love City of Dreams, mate. Geelong, the place to be. And, yeah, just two kids. And Jim's passionate about it. I said he's a quirky fellow. He's different, and that's what's great because he sees things different to all of us. And Jim's has been amazing for me. And I still, I miss the mowing. People don't believe me. I'll leave you on this one, Joel. This is one thing about mowing franchises or mowing businesses. If you're in the office all day, every day in front of your computer, you get home at 5 o'clock, you walk in the door and the wife says, I've got mum and dad or so-and-so coming over for dinner tonight. If you've been in an office all day, you just go, no, that is not what I needed. I wanted to sit on the couch and stare at the TV or go through my phone. When you're out in the field working all day, you walk in and the wife says, we've got people coming over for dinner. You are up and about. You're ready to socialize. You feel good. You're fit. It's amazing the difference to me from getting off the tools to how I used to. It's like socialize will be up and about, ready for interaction. And I think that's what I miss.
Yeah, a lot of good energy, the mowing boys when you interview them and stuff. They're unbelievably fit, healthy. I met a guy last week, lost 67 kilos, I think, in 3 years doing it.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. So it's amazing. So many benefits to the business. And I recommend if you are watching this in the Geelong area and you want to do something, don't be one of those blokes who did 10 years ago, look at it and then wait 10 years and say, should have done it sooner. Inquire with Ben. Ben's a really good, well-experienced franchisor, and Ben's been kind enough to be the first one to do our Jim's Mowing franchisor profile. So thanks for doing that.
Feel free to edit as much of it out as you like, Joel. appreciate you reaching out to me, and we franchisors. That you and your team do, Joel. It's great for us to have that behind us. And if you're listening to this and you do go ahead, I'm sure if you do all the right things and have a good crack at it, you won't regret it. And just always seek help and bring your franchisor every day if you need to. That's what they're there for, and they can help you.
There we go. Well, thank you very much, Ben. And if you want to inquire, 121-546 or jimsmoney.com.au, and one of our franchisors like Ben will be in touch ASAP and do a trial day. And hopefully we talk to you, and maybe in a couple of years' time we'll see how you come. But thank you very much for your time, Ben. We appreciate it today.
Great job, Joel. Thank you, mate.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the episode of the More Than Just Mowing podcast by Jim's Mowing. If you do need help with your local gardening expert, please give us a call on 131-546 for Australia, 0800-454-654 for New Zealand, or head to jimsmowing.com.au or jimsmowing.co.nz. If you liked what you heard, please make sure you leave us a review as well. Wherever you consume your podcast, we appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.